It's funny right now when you were wiping the camera, you look like the chick from Nemo where she's like tapping on the glass because it got all close on you.
Hello and welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. I've got my co-host, producer extraordinaire, Christmas connoisseur, Jody. What's up, Joe?
What's good, bro? We're here on the Thursday after Christmas, so you know we just opened presents and whatnot. I know we had a quote unquote short week, just like the NFL did with the games yesterday on Netflix, but we're here bringing you the new content from last week. So anything that happened. Was this the 19th through the 20th, 22nd? I don't know. Whatever ended Monday, somewhere around there. Yeah, so that's what we're talking today. What's good with you?
Good. I wanted to go off script real quick. It's always good when you have a script and a document that you're gonna roll through, and then you just decide you're gonna go off script without telling your partner.
Throw it out the window.
Yeah. Yeah. Best thing you got for Christmas yesterday?
The best thing I got. Honestly, I don't know if it was technically just for me, but it was sick. So we opened presents at midnight. So Tuesday for Wednesday. And then that Johnny and Ellie were kept saying, all right, well, we got to figure out Santa's gift. We got to figure out Santa's gift. So they're like, we'll have something for you tomorrow from Santa. I was like, all right. And so we went to bed. I woke up, going to the bathroom. The door's closed. So I was like, oh, it must have been windy or something because the door was closed. Opened the door. Lights pipe on from the ground. I was like, what? This is crazy. And then I'm like, all right, let me just hit the bathroom, you know, sit down. And at my feet, there's a new rug. We got a new rug in there. It's got the graduation logo from the bear. And okay. So, sitting down, just using my phone. They put a black like thing on the bathroom back black curtain. I was like, hey, and they redid this whole place. It's kind of sick. And I'm still going. And I look up, and they got a picture frame with a record on there with the whole cover from the album. I was like, yo, this is sick. I was like, is this Santa's work? What is this? And then so I don't think I saw Johnny for like another hour. I was like, that was Santa's gift, huh? He was like, yeah. I was like, bro, that was sick. Just like I just stumbled in there, like eyes barely open, and then you know, next thing you know, everything just lit up. And gave him that same story I just gave you, and so I think that was probably the most sick thing.
That is pretty cool. I would say, honestly, I'm probably wearing the coolest gift I got.
Yeah, yeah, the Blake Corum.
Jill got me the Blake Corum, baby. Yeah. Yeah, I had to wear it for the podcast today. Also got a shout out to moms, dude. Mom got me the new AirPods.
There you go.
So I had my old ones I really loved, but they were starting to do the thing where like.
They die in like 2 hours.
Well, it wasn't even that. It's just like the left one worked better than the right one. Like the right one, you could hear, but it felt like it was like forever away, even if you had the volume all the way up. So it's kind of weird. Dang. Like you had to have both in for them to be like working well. And
yeah.
Anyway.
I'm being honest, I haven't had AirPods in a minute because I had the OG ones and those batteries started dying on me within like hours. So then I just cut them out. Bought those Beats, if you remember those from a while back, and I've been rocking with those, but I've been thinking of getting a new pair because I feel like slowly the battery's dying on that one now too.
Yeah, I had the first gen. I had the second gen.
Mm-hmm.
The first gen, that one was on me. I put through the washer. So, but they kind of still weirdly kind of worked, but not as well, obviously. Yeah. And then I got the second gen, like, a year or so later, and I had those second gen AirPods for like three and a half years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked pretty well. Like I said, it started like where one, I think some like in the right one, it just wasn't working as well. So then I got, my mom got me these AirPod Pros. They got the noise cancellation. I don't know if I like it. But they're pretty sweet. So
my question to you is, how did I forgot my question, I'll be honest. But one thing I do want to say is that the AirPods look bright on your screen. They look really white. So if anyone watching, you'll see they just look popping out there.
On the white jersey too?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. A lot of bright white today. Okay. Best gift you gave?
I think in the grand scheme of things, I want to say I got Ellie the canary Travis Scott's, so the yellow with blue, like the Rams colors. I think that's probably the best thing. But I think out of everyone, I think my mom will like her gift the most. It's so she's coming up tonight, and we're opening all the gifts she's bringing tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I got her a clear backpack and a clear fanny pack from Lululemon. And last year I had gotten her a Jordan like purse that was see through, because she goes to a bunch of concerts and always talks about how she loves these things. And so I got her the full fit, because when she was here like literally a month ago, there was a clear, remember the clear bag we took to the Padres game?
Yeah.
That was still in my car. And so she was like, can I take this back? I was like, go ahead. Like, I don't care. And so I bought her the backpack and the fanny pack then. So I think she'll like hers the most. But I think the sickest one I gave was the Travis Scott.
Cool. Let's see. I think the coolest thing I got, if you didn't notice, Jill and I are massive Blake Corum fans. Shout out Blake Corum. Probably part of it because he's
from Michigan.
Was one of the best players, if not the best player, heart and soul of that national championship team. And then he gets drafted by the Rams, which is even cooler. Not like he's had a humongous rookie season, but in limited touches, limited role, I think he's been pretty good. I'm very excited to see what he does with his career.
He's been slowly climbing the ranks, but I think you can still tell that he's a youngin'. And then they just throw in Kyron, and that fool will just bust something for something crazy.
Well, he had like his against the Jets, he had the best run of the season. It just got called back on a stupid penalty that didn't really impact the play, like a 35-yard run. But anyway, so you know, Jill got me the jersey, right, the Blake Corum jersey. Yeah. I got her like a custom like shirt from Etsy. That's just like it's all Blake Corum. Like on a t-shirt.
Like the old school that they put like the name and then there's a bunch of pictures of them.
Yeah. And it's like, it looks like someone like drew it. Like, I don't know. It's pretty cool. But I got her that. She was pretty hyped about that. She really likes Blake Corum. So.
Yeah, that's sick.
Just a Blake Corum household here. cheers to Blake Corum. So Merry Christmas to everybody. Come to you, like Jody said, the day after Christmas. And we got to get into some NFL news here before we get to our awards. First and foremost, I think one of the biggest stories in the league right now is Saquon has two games left to get the rushing record. He needs 256 yards. By last time I looked, I believe that's what it was.
That's not bad. Sounds like he's getting it.
He gets an extra game compared to Eric Dickerson, who set the record.
Yeah, well, so that's how everything's going to be going forward.
The real question is, should dudes who take more than the 16 games to set a record have an asterisk? That's the question everyone's asking right now. What do you think, Joe? Well,
next question everyone's going to ask is, how do you feel about the bubble seasons? Because everyone's going to say the same thing about those.
That's a lot different, though.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's so different. It's the same.
It's not, because the bubble, everyone had to go through that same condition, same environment. Whereas in this, someone's getting an extra game, so it's completely different. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. But you could even look at before that with, what is this fool's name? I want to say OJ. OJ was playing in like 14 games or something. So
yeah.
So each person, everyone has an asterisk since like the 90s. Like, no, it's going to be the new record. Yeah, you could always say he had the extra game. But then the day going forward, even if they add more games, it's going to be the same thing. The same conversation in however many years if they add more games.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I'm just a Rams fan who doesn't want to see Eric Dickerson's record broken. So, Saquon, hope you don't get the 256 that you need, brother. All right.
I mean, Lions, it's very possible they sit him the last week of the season, and he has to try to do it all this week.
Lions or Vikings for the NFC's one seed. It's going to come down to it. The Vikings, they have a home game against the Packers this week, and then they're going to travel to Detroit. If the Vikings win both those games, they are the NFC's one seed.
Dang.
If the Lions host the – who am I thinking of? Who are the Lions playing this week? They host the 49ers on Monday Night Football, and then they're going to host Minnesota. If the Lions win both their games, they're the one seed, obviously. Mm-hmm. If both of those teams – were to somehow lose, both of them lose this week.
Yeah.
And the Viking or the Eagles win, then the Eagles would somehow be back in it for the one seed. There's a lot of the Eagles really don't have a high chance of getting it right now. They have like 5%. It's really Vikings or Lions, and one of them's going to be the fifth seed. The loser will obviously be the fifth seed. So that's a story to watch for. Obviously, the Vikings, you know, they got the tougher game this week with Green Bay. So that'll be one to watch to see who gets home field throughout the NFC playoffs. You know, I think a lot of people would probably anticipate the Lions doing it. However, the Lions are depleted on defense right now, so you know, something to watch for. Could happen for the Vikings. Falcons or Bucks for the NFC South. They're now both 8-7. The wow, Falcons hold there. Hold the head-to-head tiebreaker with a 2-0 record against the Bucks. The Falcons this week have the Commanders, and then they're finishing the year, I believe, with the Panthers. And I think the Bucks go.
They play the Panthers this week, I think.
Panthers and Saints to finish their year. So the Bucks should win both, you would think, but they should have also beaten the Cowboys in theory last week.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers are playing well. It's not going to be an easy win for either one of those teams. Saints are also playing pretty well, though. Hard to say that after they lost in Green Bay 34-0. But prior to that, they were playing pretty well. The Falcons definitely have the toughest matchup remaining this week against Washington. Washington with a win would clinch a playoff spot. So, and they're still technically in the race for the division with Philly. If they can win out and Philly loses out, they would likely win the division there. So, tough game for Atlanta. Atlanta's going to really need – they're going to need a big game for Penix probably to win.
And if, last week.
If Atlanta wins this week, it feels like it's their division to lose. If they were to lose, then it feels like shifts and it's the Bucks' division to lose at that point. So
I agree.
Really, it's going to be who doesn't want to lose it more? okay, we go to the Rams and Seahawks for the NFC West. Interesting, all the NFC divisions still up for grabs right now. The Rams
wild, huh?
Have a one game lead and the current head to head tiebreaker against Seattle. This has been the one that has probably spurned the most conversation this week because there's so many permutations to how this goes. But basically, the Bears and Seahawks play tonight. If the Seahawks beat the Bears, they keep themselves alive.
Mm-hmm.
If the Rams beat Arizona, then what it would be is 10-6 versus 9-7 going into week 18. Now, here's the thing. In a theoretical world, right, where you say, obviously, if the Rams win that game, the Rams would win the division in week 18. But if Seattle were to win that division, then you'd go head-to-head. Well, it's 1-1. Division record, they would both be 4-2 at that point.
Yep.
Conference record, they would both have the same conference record. So then it goes to strength of victory, which is essentially... Geez. Which is essentially a tiebreaker that has a points system based on who you beat and who those teams beat. So it's like how tough is your record, basically? How tough are your wins? So there's a calculation right now. There's 17 games. The Rams have a huge edge in strength of victory right now. There's 17 games left on that strength of victory deal that matter. The Rams only need 5 of those 17 games to go their way. Seattle needs 14 of those 17 to go their way to get that tiebreaker. So in theory, even if the Seahawks win, the Rams could also win and clinch the division this week if those games go their way. So like the Cincinnati-Denver game, mm-hmm. the Rams need Cincinnati to win that game. Yeah. So there's like a bunch of different games that matter. Yeah, where the Rams could actually clinch it this week, even if the Seahawks won. The likelihood is the Rams will be very close. If both teams win, the Rams will be close, but probably won't have it clinched. And their best bet will just be to beat Seattle in week 18 to win the division. But the Seahawks, they're still alive. They need a lot to happen. They obviously need to win out, and then they need some teams to give them help. But there is a chance Seattle still wins that division.
Do you want the simplified version of that scenario that I have given out there? I said the Rams, they got two games. They need to win at least one, and they need the Seahawks to lose both. Regardless, that's the easiest way. Or they go and win both, and it doesn't matter what Seattle does. That's the Joey version.
The Joey version is really even easier. They don't even need Seattle to lose both. They just need Seattle to lose one.
Yeah.
The Rams win one and Seattle loses one, the Rams win it. Right? Mm-hmm. And if the Rams win both, they win it.
Yeah. I think it's simplified. Who cares about the outside world? Just do it yourself.
Yeah, just do your job. Win both games and you're good.
Exactly.
So the Rams will obviously be paying attention to tonight's Seattle-Chicago game. Chicago hasn't put together a really good game in quite some time. I would be shocked if Seattle, knowing they have to win, loses to a Chicago team that tonight, but you never know.
It's Thursday Night Football.
Thursday Night Football, things happen any given Thursday. Ravens or Steelers for the AFC North. It now, after Christmas Day, which we're going to talk about those Christmas Day games here in a sec, mm-hmm. appears to be the Ravens division. The Ravens are 11-5. The Steelers are 10-6. The Steelers would have a tiebreaker on the head-to-head if they finished with the same record. They went 1-1, so they don't actually have the head-to-head, but like if you go through the tiebreakers, the Steelers would get it. They finished with the same record. The Ravens play, I think it's the Browns in Week 18, where the Steelers play Cincinnati. The Steelers would need to win and need the Ravens to lose to win the division. Now, what's interesting about that is crazy. The loser of the division is going to Houston. Houston is locked in as the 4 seed. The loser of the Ravens-Steelers division, the team that doesn't win that division, it's not locked in, but more than likely the 5 seed. So the question is, would you rather travel to Houston
or go back
in the wild card or host likely the Chargers? It's an interesting question, because right now the way Houston looked yesterday, I know we're going to talk about those Christmas games. Houston isn't good. I'm just gonna be, like CJ Stroud. Yeah. I don't know what happened. Their offense was abysmal yesterday against the Ravens. I mean, if I'm Pittsburgh,
but there was 2 points on the board. That's terrible.
Yeah, they couldn't score. They couldn't do anything. I mean, if I'm Pittsburgh, like I said, I'm okay with just winning in Week 18, getting to 11-6. Letting the Ravens win the division at 12-5 and go to Houston in game one, because the likelihood is you're probably going to KC in game two. And honestly, I know they didn't play KC. They lost to KC by a couple scores yesterday, but I think the Steelers, if they play their best game, can beat Kansas City. I don't know if they really want to play Buffalo. Obviously, I think they're comfortable in a game against the Ravens. I know that most recent game, 34-17, didn't look good. But here's the thing. Like, Pittsburgh's beat up right now. If they can just get healthy, they're going to be fine. I know, like, the sky is falling for Steelers fans right now. But truthfully, you just played 3 games against the Eagles, the Ravens, and the Chiefs in 11 days. And, like, half your secondary's out. You know, TJ Watt's playing on a bum ankle. George Pickens didn't play in 2 of those games. Like, I'm going to be honest. Like, it was a tough break for them in the schedule and the way things worked out. And, I mean, a lot of teams would have struggled in that stretch, too. It would have been nice if they had gotten one win, but they went 0-3. And now it's like, okay, the worst case, though, being that you end up on the road at Houston. It's not a bad deal there. Whereas the Ravens, you know, they're kind of looking like it's going to be Harbaugh ball. They got to go play. They're going to go host Jim and the Chargers. And I think the Chargers are a scary wild card team. I don't think you really want to play them. Just because of Jesse Minner and that defense. You know, Herbert is the kind of quarterback that can win a playoff game when you need him to. I mean, we haven't seen it yet, but I think it's there. You know, it'll be an interesting, like, storylines in that game. Who needs it more, Herbert or Lamar? Because they're two quarterbacks that have been great in the regular season but haven't really had playoff success, at least a whole bunch of it, between the two of them. And it'll be a funny storyline that week because one of them's getting a win, you know.
I feel you. But I think it would go fall back to the Harbaugh Bowl on that. Be like, oh,
also that
the big bro hasn't beat little bro or whatever the ages is, and it's like whatever.
Believe it or not, I believe John is actually big bro. Jim is little bro.
Who's the Ravens coach?
John.
Yeah, I think he is older. I might have said it backwards when I meant
the story. Yeah. Little bro has hasn't beat big bro. Those Christmas Day games, I'm gonna be honest, kind of sucked. For being real,
I only saw the Chiefs game because Chiefs Steelers was see Wicked in the second game. Which, okay, I mean, okay, probably a good thing because there was only 2 points from Houston.
So Chiefs Steelers was a good game for most of it. It was 16 to 10.
Yeah,
like, and then it took late in the third quarter. And then the Chiefs scored to start the fourth to make it 23-10, or actually 22. They went for two, didn't get it. 22-10. Well, then of course the Steelers turn it over, so then the Chiefs get it back and score again. So now it's 29-10, and it's just like, okay, you know, the game's over at that point. Whereas Ravens Texans was never good. I mean, it was just like from the jump. I'm in the fantasy football championship in my league with all my friends from college. I had a real conundrum this week. It's a double flex league, two receivers, flex. It's a lot of dudes. Yeah. So you have a quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, tight end, double flex, kicker, and defense. So
that's crazy. You might as well add a defensive player while you're at it too. And another quarterback.
And it's a full PPR, right? My receiver, Nico Collins, was a guaranteed start, right?
And then
Aaron Jones is one of my flex starts.
Yeah.
Because I have Bijan Robinson and Chase Brown are my running backs, and Aaron Jones is my third back. So like those are my three running backs that I play with one of the flex spots. So I have two flex spots open basically for two receivers.
Yeah.
Right. So I had to decide. I had four dudes who I could decide between for two spots. Nico Collins was guaranteed one. So the other two spots, it was between Cooper Kupp, Jordan Addison, Jalen McMillan, and Zay Flowers. I had to start two of those four.
Yeah.
And Cooper Kupp been struggling. Jalen McMillan's been taken off with the Bucks. Zay Flowers Zay Flowers and Jordan Addison have both been consistently like, you know, around 10 to 15 points, and the occasional like they go off kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Zay Flowers was questionable going into that game. So I was like, I don't know. So I went back and forth. I asked a million people. Everyone gave me different answers. And ultimately, I was like, all right, so I just got to make this decision on my own. I got to figure it out.
What was I know what I told you. I said, you go with Zay Flowers and Addison. Well, what was some other options people gave you?
All over the board. I mean, most people did not tell me Cooper Kupp. Just because he's been on a recent streak of bad games.
Yeah.
Most people told me some version of Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, Jalen McMillan, Jordan Addison, Jalen McMillan, whatever. Ultimately, what I decided was, I if I'm in a championship game, who am I going to be more upset if I didn't start? That's kind of how I went with it. Jalen McMillan's been playing well, but do I really want to put my championship life in his hands, like rookie? Yeah. I was like, nah, I'm not doing that. Jordan Addison has been good, a little inconsistent, and they have a really tough matchup with Green Bay. Green Bay's defense is very good. And I was in the first matchup, they kind of took him out. So I was like, I'm not doing that. So once I knew Zay Flowers was playing, I went Zay Flowers and Cooper Kupp. That's what I decided to do.
But wasn't that first game the what's his face game? Malik. Who is their backup quarterback?
No, Jordan Love played in that first game.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
Disregard.
I think he played in that first game. I don't know. Maybe he didn't, but I thought he did. I thought that was like his first game back from that knee injury. That
could be possible.
So anyway, I end up doing that. So, of course, I'm watching that Ravens-Texans game very closely.
Yeah.
And Nico Collins and Zay Flowers did nothing. I mean, both of them.
See, I saw the opening drive where he almost scored a touchdown, and I was like, it looks like it's going to be a good day for Trevor, and then we left.
Yeah. Pretty much after that one opening drive, Zay Flowers did nothing the rest of the game. But because the Ravens didn't have to throw. They just ran the ball. And then the Texans were playing from behind, so they were throwing a ton. So you'd think Nico Collins would do well, but there was a couple vertical throws. Like one, CJ just missed him on a corner route versus cover two, where if he puts it on him, it's a 20-yard gain, but instead he overthrew him. Another one, Nico just dropped over the middle, just on like post, skinny post, just put it right on him. He dropped it. So Nico Collins didn't even have 10 points. Zay Flowers had like 6. I think I got like not even 15 total points from those two players combined.
Oh, no.
So yeah,
you
it's not
running backs to pop off then.
I was going to say, it's not looking good for your boy. Part of me is wondering if I really gamble, if I'm going to go in on Cooper Kupp. I have Matthew Stafford on the bench. And part of me is wondering if I just go Matthew Stafford over Jordan Love and hope that like the Rams just blow out the Cardinals and it's a lot of Matthew Stafford to Cooper Kupp. There's part of me that's wondering if I should do that.
I would say that's a great idea, but the way they have been playing the last like 3 weeks, Sean McVay is in real conservative mode, or we're going to take the lead and just win.
Well, so I mean, trust that against Buffalo, which was 2 weeks ago, by the way. Coop had 20 points and Stafford had like 25.
Very true. But outside of that game, what has happened? They've won 19-9 and like 12-6.
A couple weeks before that against New England, same thing. I mean, the last 2 weeks, yes. But they've also played two pretty good defenses the last 2 weeks. Arizona's defense is not that. That's why I'm saying they can do it. I'm going to ride him. I don't know. I'm definitely starting Coop over Addison and McMillan. And then, because he's got the highest ceiling of those three. Like, he may have the lowest floor, but he also has the highest ceiling. So I'm going to ride with it. And
there you go.
Let's be what they may. Okay, last bit. We got way sidetracked there. That's on me. My bad, everybody.
No, I know you don't want to talk about my
fantasy football team.
At least someone's still in the championship. I'm out here just outside looking in, letting my dudes roll. If I win, cool. If I lose, it doesn't mean anything different.
Pete Carroll. Sounds like he might be interested in the Bears job. So something to keep an eye on there.
Aren't they talking about some OC or something from some team? I don't know his name.
I mean, a lot of people are talking about Ben Johnson from the Lions. That's a big one now. But
yeah, him.
Yeah. All right, the current playoff picture right now. We have to update this every week. The Chiefs, they've got the 3 asterisk, meaning they super clinched, as in they're the 1 seed. It doesn't matter what happens in week 18, they're the 1 seed. The Bills, pretty locked into the 2 seed, looks like. Especially if they win this week, if they lose the last two and the Ravens win the last one, I think maybe the Ravens could catch them because they have the head-to-head. So they could fall to the 3 line, but for the most part, the Bills are going to be the 2 seed as long as they win one more.
Yeah.
They would currently play the 7 seed of Broncos, who are 9-6. You know, obviously teams in the hunt for that last seed. The Colts at 7-8, the Dolphins at 7-8, the Bengals at 7-8. I want to correct something I said last week. I said the Bengals had the best chance to catch the Broncos just because they had the head-to-head with them. That's actually not true.
They need a lot to happen, but
the Bengals do have the head-to-head. But even if they win that game, they're more likely opening it up for the Colts or the Dolphins because the Colts or Dolphins both have them right. Like they need the Colts and Dolphins to both lose for them to then have. And the Colts' last two games are like Tennessee and Jacksonville. Like, if the Colts don't win those two games, they don't deserve to
They barely snatched out a win last week by, like, 6.
They were beating Tennessee by a million and let Tennessee come back.
That was a garbage time football.
Yeah, or that's who they play. They play the Giants and then Jacksonville. That's who the Colts have their last two games. Like, they better win those two games. Those are two of the worst teams in the NFL. whereas the Dolphins, I want to say they have, like, the Jets and the Patriots or something like that. Like the Dolphins also feels like they should win their last two games. So it's just going to be hard for the Bengals because they got to win out, but then also have the Dolphins and Colts lose one. If they do that, mm-hmm. then they would be the last seed in. They also need the Broncos to lose out too.
Yeah.
So, but we just said the Chiefs super clinched the one seed, right? So the Chiefs may not play anyone in week 18 against the Broncos. That bodes well for the Broncos. Like even if they lose this game to the Bengals,
they still have
just beat the Chiefs backups in week 18 and you're in. Yeah. So that's the scenario there for the wild card. Moving down the line, Ravens, we talked about them.
Oh, you're still on the in AFC? I was going to say, did you see Andy Reid yesterday with the Chiefs saying, no? Yeah. Saying, brought you home field advantage. What a guy. Love him. And then
hilarious.
I forgot what other thing I wanted to mention. Oh, so MVP talk. Lamar and Josh Allen.
Hold it. Okay. We got to finish the AFC playoff picture. Hold it. Come on. You brought it up in NFL news. What are we doing? Come on, bro.
News. We don't know who's winning yet.
We don't know who's winning. I mean, there's not really – I still think Josh Allen. But Lamar played well. So, speaking of Lamar, the Ravens, 11-5 is the 3 seed. We play the 9-6 Chargers. We covered that a ton. And then the Texans, 9-7, would play the 5-seeded Steelers, 10-6. All the 1-5 seeds are clinched in the AFC. The Chargers and Broncos can also clinch by winning this week or winning next week. Like we said, the Colts, Dolphins, Bengals all need a lot to happen. All right. In the NFC, the Lions, 13-2. We talked about their situation. They got to win out to clinch the 1 seed. The Eagles, 12-3. They need a lot to happen to get to the 1 seed. They're likely the 2 seed, almost all the way locked into it, 12-3. They're going to play right now. We'll play the 7-seeded Commanders, who are 10-5. Teams that could still get in the hunt. They're really more just so
division leaders.
Yeah, they're just really for the division. It's going to be tough for them to catch the Commanders as the 7 seed. And that's the Seahawks and Buccaneers. So the Rams, 9-6, are the 3 seed. The Seahawks at 8-7. We talked about how they could catch them. The Rams right now would play the 6-seeded Packers at 11-4. The 4-seeded Falcons at 8-7 have that tiebreaker over the Bucks at 8-7. Talked about how that could happen there. They'll play the 5th-seeded Vikings right now at 13-2. The NFC playoffs feel like, truthfully, it's close. It feels like we kind of know who the playoff teams are. I think the teams that are currently in are likely the playoff teams, although the Falcons, all they have to do is lose to the Commanders this week, and then it feels like it's the Bucks division again. So we'll see. I guess we'll play the waiting game on that. Feels like the Rams are very, very close to winning that division. So it'll be a lot more about matchups in the next 2 weeks than anything else. All right. Awards. Let's hit it.
That's the MVP race.
Dude, why is everyone so obsessed with this MVP race right now?
Okay, real quick. Just real quick.
To me, people are – here's the thing. People forget that voters are human. Lamar's won it twice. Josh Allen hasn't won it ever.
Yeah.
And there's part of that where when you look at both those players, where you're like, those two dudes are both very, very good. To me, most voters are going to say, well, Josh Allen hasn't won one. Lamar's won two.
Yeah.
If it's close, I'm giving it to Josh Allen because he's the guy who hasn't won one. That we know that's how that goes. The likelihood is just with that being the tiebreaker, Josh Allen's winning it.
Yeah. I just want to say.
That's probably the truth.
In the odd chance that the Bills lose out and have the same record as the Ravens, do you flip from Josh Allen or no?
I mean, if he plays terrible, which I guess that's probably what would have to happen for them to lose out. Their last two games are like, I don't know who they're playing this week, but I know they finished with the Patriots. If they lose to the Patriots and Josh Allen is not good, then I'm sure that would there's still 2 weeks. I'm not saying it's done.
They got,
but I think Josh Allen would have to play bad. Jets and Patriots, that's who they play?
Yeah.
Yeah, if they lose those two games and Josh Allen's awful and Lamar is good again next week, then I'd give it to Lamar. But as long as Josh Allen continues playing the way he's playing, it's going to be Josh Allen.
I agree. All right, awards. Real ones that we give out.
Yeah.
Gamer of the week. I'll start it off because it snuck up on us. We had the holiday. We got this and that, and boom, here we are. We're recording. So my gamer of the week this week, I went with Jonathan Taylor, the workhorse last week. I kind of briefly touched on it, where the game looked like it was close but wasn't. We had Jonathan Taylor put up 29 carries, 218 yards, 3 touchdowns in the game versus the Titans, leaving their playoff hopes still open in the very, very off chance that they could pull it off, but it's still available.
True. Jonathan Taylor. JT, man, made up for the fumble
the week before. Yeah. It's funny because everyone last week was like, oh, man, I'm out the league now because I lost to Jonathan Taylor. And then he went crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going down the fantasy rabbit hole again. I have a funny story I could tell you off air. For me, Jaden Daniels leading the Commanders back from a 21-0 deficit. Yes, I know Jalen Hurts was out and it was Kenny Pickett. I don't care, dude.
Good for that over we chose. Because
he was down. Yeah. He was down 21-0. And he stole the game in the last 6 seconds. It really did feel like the Commanders stole the game. 24 for 39, 258 yards, five tutties. Most importantly, insane. Rebounded from a pick. Threw a pick with a little over 3 minutes to go, down by two. And when he threw that pick, it kind of felt like the game could be over. Instead, the Eagles failed to convert on third down. Devontae Smith was wide open and dropped a pass that would have probably ended the game. And then the Eagles kicked a field goal instead. So now he gets the ball back with 2 minutes to go, no timeouts, and just drives him right down the field to score the game winner. 6 seconds left. Cold-blooded gamer. Nice stuff from Jaden Daniels. Now that award, Rookie of the Year, feels like it's locked up. Offensive Rookie of the Year is Jaden Daniels' award at this point.
Yeah, especially if they get in the playoffs and the Broncos struggled to get in. Probably very,
very funny because for sure. As that was happening, I was on the phone with another coach friend of mine. Shout out to Joe. I was on the phone with Joe, and he's like talking to me, and he's asking me like, "Who's the offensive rookie of the year?" And we're talking about it like it's probably Jaden Daniels, but like Nix has had a good year, Brian Thomas Jr., Brock Bowers, like all those guys are in the mix. You'd even say like in a normal year when there weren't so many good rookies, like Caleb is having a good year, man. Even though the Bears suck, he's had a good year, you know. And we're talking about
middle of the pack QB. It's just the record is what's holding them back.
And then all of a sudden, Jaden Daniels, like as I'm on the phone, is doing this. And then I was like, all right, well, that's over. Like, he locked it up and started laughing. The dog of the week, Jody's dog of the week.
This one goes to the Falcons, the defense, because they decided to beat the team that they played last week on their own. No need for Michael Penix, who didn't do much. He threw a pick, didn't throw no touchdowns or nothing. So, yeah, defense carrying them to dub with 2 touchdowns. I think one was a pick six, one was a fumble six, if I'm not mistaken. So that's the Falcons carrying their team to a 34 or something game, 2 of them being from them on defense.
Big dub. All right. I got the minor setback for a major comeback. I'm going to go with the Eagles. Okay. On this podcast, of course, the week I finally say, I'm never right about the Eagles. I'm never right about them. So you know what I'm going to say? Hey, the Eagles are winning the Super Bowl. I'm just going to go all in and say they're winning the Super Bowl because I'm never right about this team. For weeks, I've been saying the downfall was coming. And then last week on the podcast with you and
CB. I said it was coming.
The last week on the podcast with you and CB, I finally just gave in and said, you know what?
They're just really good. I can't beat them. Join them.
I'm in on them. And then they lose. So maybe this is the beginning of the end. But I don't think so. Honestly, I feel like the game was really just Jalen Hurts got hurt. And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Kenny Pickett wasn't awful, but he wasn't good. I mean, you had the 21-0 lead, basically. Like, he comes in when they're up 14-0 in the red zone, throws a touchdown. So, like, instantly he's up 21-0. Now, he threw that touchdown, yes, but basically playing 21-0 the rest of the way. And the Commanders turned the ball over a ton of times. Kenny Pickett couldn't take advantage.
5 times.
Yes, there were some drops. There were some drops. Not all his fault. That's what I said. He wasn't awful, but he also wasn't good enough to win, clearly. I watched a team that played hard despite losing their starting quarterback in the first quarter to a concussion. I believe Hurts will be back. The Eagles will finish these last 2 weeks off with a winning note. And they just have so much talent. They're going to be 14-3. They're going to be the 2 seed. And they'll get to host 2 playoff games and then probably have to go on the road to Detroit or Minnesota to win it. And I think they can win in either one of those places. So, truthfully, I still think Philly should be the favorite out of the NFC to go to the Super Bowl, even though this happened. So that's what I'm going to say. Minor setback, major comeback coming through. Eagles. All right. No cap. Hats off award. And it's one of my favorites. And I'm going to go back in the bag to last Thursday night, a week ago from today. Mm-hmm. The Chargers. Not a lot of people know about this rule. Fair catch, free kick right at the end of the half or at the end of a game like that. You can fair catch it. Even if there's no time left on the clock, you get a free kick from that spot. Very few people know the rule. Rarely ever happens. It's why if you're punting from your own end zone late in the half, kick it out of bounds. Don't give them the opportunity to fair catch it. Major credit to Harbaugh. Not surprised he knows the rule and took advantage of it. And then Cameron Dicker, you know, banged the field goal for 3 points. That turned out to be like a huge set of points in that game. And put the Broncos in position to possibly get out of the playoffs. Kept the Chargers in a very good position to be in. Big play. No cap, hats off. A lot of people didn't know that rule, didn't know that that existed. So big credit to Harbaugh and the Chargers. The Strahan Munoz Big Fella Award. Jody, who you got?
This one, I'm going another team play here. We got the Packers O-line versus the Saints. Our guy Jordan Love wasn't sacked all game. Great there. Played a very balanced game at 220 passing yards, 108 rushing. Just pitched a shutout versus the Saints. Just couldn't let them do anything against them. So hats off to them, the whole squad, firing all cylinders, especially now. They've been putting in the work the last couple weeks, letting Josh Jacobs take over the field, left, right, and center. So Packers alignment looking good, especially versus a defeated Saints team. They just didn't let them do nothing.
Fact. I got Micah Parsons, all right? You know, he's not gotten a lot of credit this year on a pretty bad Cowboys team, right?
True.
But he had 5 tackles against the Bucs, a TFL, and a sack. He's quietly been very good on a down Cowboys team. At the same time, they are 4-1 in their last 5, and a major part of that has been Parsons. He's had 6.5 sacks and 6 TFLs during that time.
Thanks.
So he's been a monster for them the last few weeks, and it's important to know, like, you know, I know everyone's giving Collinsworth a ton of crap for continually saying on that Sunday night football game, you know, Cowboys got nothing to play for, but they're playing hard, you know. But he's not wrong. The Cowboys, they've been out of it for quite a while here. You know, obviously they finally got officially eliminated this last week. But for the most part, they knew. They weren't playing to get back in. They're just playing for the Dallas Cowboys, right?
Tough and, look for Jody in the beginning of the season right there.
Yeah, yeah. The beginning of the season, you know, they were down. And then it went from bad to worse. So they lose Dak. But they've righted the ship. Mike McCarthy's got those boys playing well. And you know what? I won't be surprised. Cowboys fans may not like to hear this, but I won't be surprised if Mike gets retained.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something about Cooper Rush.
No, I'm not. Come on. I'm not a hot take artist. Like, I'm not going to tell you Cooper Rush is better than Dak. Like, come on. We're not doing that. Dak is clearly better, had a tough year, got hurt, and has been done. Cooper Rush proving himself as a capable backup quarterback, though. I mean, that's a great, great thing for him. But I think Jerry is proven to be loyal to people who give him any kind of result that allows him to keep them. I mean, that's what he's done with quarterbacks. He's done what he's done with head coaches over the years. So I won't be surprised if Mike is back and Dak is the quarterback next year. I know everyone's like, they're going to blow it up. They're going to start. Nope, I don't think so. I think they're both back the way they're playing down the stretch here. All right.
Yeah.
Who's cooking? Quarterback who's cooking, or maybe even one who isn't. They're cooking something, but it may not be very good. In honor of CB,
yeah,
I went with Spencer Rattler here. he practiced in the industrial freezer this past week. So we know he wasn't cooking. He ain't cooking anything in that freezer. And he wasn't cooking anything in Lambeau either. It was ice cold there too. Went 15 of 30, 153 yards, 1 pick. Took 3 sacks, put up 0 points on the board, 19.3 QBR. And I have to imagine our guy CB feeling pretty good at this moment about the trash can take. Now, I still don't think he's right, but evidence is helping him right now, I guess, is what we would say. I'll point to the Commanders game the week before when he came in the game and almost led him back to a win, but that's just me.
Yeah, see, I almost took another rookie quarterback right here in Michael Penix, 200 passing yards, one pick, didn't really do much. But
the pick wasn't on him either. Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts let it go to the other guy.
Yeah.
But my my true cooking award guy goes to Jared Goff. Just the play with the fake fumble, because you know they knew they were going to fumble the bag on that one, get it deep to I don't remember who. That alone is just crazy. That could have been the hats off where they saw the Packers do it and they're like, you know, let's give it a whirl with the old Bears. And so yeah, finished 23 for 32, 336 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. Even with all the injuries for the squad, they're still putting up the numbers. So we'll see how that carries over in the playoffs, and hopefully Dan Campbell and the boys could make a nice push with all these injuries.
The streets were saying that Ben Johnson did that on purpose against the Bears. That was his head coaching.
That was his
interview.
Yep. I heard the same thing. They said, "Look what I could do to you. I took a play y'all messed up a couple weeks ago. I'm gonna run it back in true choreographed fashion."
Who you got?
All right, so Boo Boo Evans this week. We got Jalen Coker. Now, I don't know if you watched the game 2 weeks ago with the Panthers, but this boy went nutty. I think he had 2 touchdowns, like 100-something yards. He was having a field day. Yeah. And then, you know, fast forward 1 week, a.k.a. last week, we got 2 catches on 5 targets and a good old 8 yards on reception. So, quick flip on him. He was playing solid once ever. So, I guess he was hurt for a while, out for like 8 to 10 weeks or something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Had a solid couple games. Had that game 2 weeks ago. Went crazy. Last week didn't do nothing. So I don't know if that's a testament to the other dudes like Leggett, Thielen, and all them putting up regular numbers, or if this dude just couldn't connect with Bryce Young and make things happen. So
Panthers though, big win for them, huh? Big win.
Yeah,
I'm happy for that Panthers.
Spoiler.
Team. I think they
playing spoiler.
They could be, I know it's early, we're not even done with this year, but hey, we need to bookmark this. We need to look, based on what they do in the offseason, we need to check out their over-under next year and see what we think on win totals next year for that team, because they're playing good. All right, we got the turnover on downs. Okay, first down. I'm going to give you a trend in the league, right? I've been following the trends all year. It's been really fun. It's one of my favorite things to do, is give you what's happening and why, right? So we're going to go to actually the Rams game this week and look at what the Rams were doing out of bunch concepts. Oof.
What happened?
Pops is trying to give me a call right now. Shout out, Pops. I told him I got to call him back. Podcasting.
Hey, Pop, we're on there. Say hi to the people. All right, I'll call you.
All right, so the Rams, they use a bunch concept right here, right? They're going to motion Tutu Atwell in. This is kind of that cheap motion everyone loves, like motion in towards the line of scrimmage and then, or back towards the center, and then get vertical up the field so you get a little momentum going. Okay, this is a third and I think it was 5, right? They go empty. Motion in. They know you're getting one high from the Jets, so it's man coverage out here out of the bunch. Okay, you're going to release Tutu across the field. That's going to occupy the safety, occupy his eyes. You're going to release Puka up the field on the corner route. And then the big thing on this is Cooper Kupp's going to outside release behind Puka Nacua, right? Mm-hmm. But then come back underneath Tutu Atwell. And there's a void in the middle of that field when he does that. It's a really good scheme, play design by the Rams. It's a great red zone style concept, because I remember when I was playing in college, a lot of teams were doing this. This was, you know, they always say what is old is new again, right? This is common concept that's coming back around, where you have kind of the double outside release by Puka and Cooper, and then that one comes back in underneath it, right? And it actually opens the window, so it gets Cooper Kupp wide open. And hey, I was just talking about this fantasy football. Hopefully we get that next week. Great catch by him. He goes down on the turf to get it. Stafford, a little low on the throw. If he actually puts it on him, You know, he might be running for a while. Yeah, because he creates space. I mean, he's so patient off the line of scrimmage, right? So there's 2-2 running across. You can't really see the safety, but he's back here. He's occupied by that. And then again, if he puts it on him,
yeah,
he's probably running for at least 5 more yards. Yeah. But he goes down to get it. So it's just the route running from Coop is very patient. You know, I'd show it again one more time here.
Yeah.
Watch how you see how he waits and he makes sure he drifts.
All right, time to go.
Drifts behind Puka, right? And this is even good route matchups from the Jets. Like, great job of matching the pattern, right? Not playing true man, but matching it.
Yeah.
And even with that, you know, you get a guy who's now outside leverage and then you're coming back inside. You won that, right? You've created the separation you needed to.
I got
to
catch up.
So great concept from McVay, great patience from Stafford and Cup, and then a really good job of going down to the turf to get it from Cooper Cup. So that's a trend, you know, bunch concepts creating space for your dudes that you'll see in the league right now.
All right, second down. My bets for this week that I was looking at, starting it off with the Bears Seahawks. I got over 42.5 with Seattle looking to keep their playoffs hope alive. Versus the, you know, division leader, the Rams currently. They got the Bears this week who have been playing pretty well. And they haven't been able to play a complete game yet, but they do put up points every now and again in the second half. So I think the 42.5 seems like a good choice there. We have the Bengals Broncos. I got the over in that one, 49.5. Same thing, except both these dudes are fighting for a playoff spot. The Bengals looking to bring the Broncos so they could hopefully get their last spot. And the Broncos looking to at least win one of these last two so they could stay in the playoff race. And, of course, I think, you know, the Bengals have way more firepower than the Broncos, but their defense isn't as good as the Broncos. So, I mean, I don't know. Something seems like a lot of points here just because eventually both the defense are going to be tired and then run up the numbers. And then lastly, I have the Cowboys versus the Eagles this week. I got the Cowboys with the spread, so 8.5 versus the Eagles. Hopefully, you know, our guy Jalen Hurts doesn't return, and this would help this out a little bit, I think. And I'll just read my notes because I don't want to just skim over them. It says, Dirty Birds. The Birds have been all over the place recently, and the boys have been looking a lot better with Cooper Rush at the helm. And so, I don't know. Something just says the Cowboys are going to play a better team football game versus the Eagles, but I'm not picking that one at all. I think the safe option is the Bengals-Broncos, even though it is pretty high. That's the one that we're rolling this week.
Yeah. I like it. I like Bengals Broncos over 49.5 just because it's strength on strength, really, and weakness on weakness, truthfully. Like,
yeah,
the Broncos offense versus the Bengals defense is the weakness of both those teams, whereas the Bengals offense versus the Broncos defense, strength on strength there. I do think, though, that you'll see the Bengals be able to score and the Broncos also be able to score. I think the offenses are going to win both those matchups for the most part. I do think the Bengals are going to win this game.
Yeah.
And if they're going to win this game, then it has to be a shootout. That's how they win. So yeah. I think you're safe going. I think 50 points get scored in that game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think the line was like 3.5 or something. So favorite to the Bengals. So we'll see what happens there all around.
Okay. Third down breakdown. I cheated a little bit this week. Not going to lie. Technically, this was second down, but it's the game winner for Jaden Daniels versus the Eagles. Big play, obviously. And I'm going to show you how it happened. All right. So they get up on third and one. They actually run the ball. They get the first down, spike it. They leave themselves 11 seconds, I believe, is what was on the clock left, right? Philly's going to play a nice little red zone coverage. They're going to bring four. They're going to play essentially what we would call like a palms look, right? You're going to play 3-on-2 over here and 4-on-3, lock up the corner and still play just 3-on-2, right? Versus the empty coverage and again, send four. Now, the big guy that I want to highlight here is, I believe this is Cooper DeJean in the slot, right? And that's Reed Blankenship over the top. So what's going to happen is Actually, this might be Cooper DeJean. I think this might be Zach Braun, maybe the linebacker. I'm sorry, it's tough to tell, right? But
a lot of
anyway, the inside hook defender, right? So this guy's job is to play over the top of everything. His job is to essentially play anything coming out, and he plays underneath anything coming in, right? They're going to run a nice little, it's kind of like what the Rams did, a little bit of a, it's not a bunch concept, but it's really a cluster because it's just two guys, right? But he's going to inside release heavy and then go to the back corner of the end zone. The inside man, Jamison Zach Ertz, is going to release behind Jamison Crowder and then try and cut across the goal line. In an ideal world, what you're doing is you take the safety away. This defender, if he's playing it right, kind of plays between the two, and you're trying to rifle it in there right at the goal line to Zach Ertz and hope he powers through, right? Instead, you'll notice what happens is this hook defender, and the reason I highlight him, he takes Zach Ertz away, kind of trusting the safety to play one-on-one behind him, and it opens that window, and Jaden Daniels throws a strike to Jamison Crowder, who truthfully I didn't know was still in the league for a game-winning touchdown. Okay? And that's a shout-out to Jamison Crowder. It's not a diss, right? So they get the switch release. Okay, they're playing it right so far. I mean, this is all correct, right?
Yeah.
Now he sees this route break inside, and it's tough, right? Yeah. That's DeJean outside leverage, right? He's not going to be able to make that play. So he knows, like, okay, I have to be able to make this play if he throws this ball. But look where the safety is. The safety is not in position to take that thing going vertical across the field, right? And on the other side of the field, the curl route takes two defenders right there. It takes the underneath and the safety, so there's no safety playing here. He's on that route. He has to respect it. Okay, so Daniels throws an absolute strike behind it. Like, that ball had to be exactly where he put it, because otherwise you might be able to get there, right? And he just this was Zach Bond, with the linebacker who he was able to trick on the Zach Ertz coming across the goal line. You can even see Daniels kind of gives that. He's looking that way the whole way. I think his body language makes it look like he might throw to Ertz, and he actually is throwing the strike behind it to Crowder. Tough concept to cover, really tough one to complete, obviously, against this coverage, and he gets it done. Also, shout out to their O-line for giving him the time to get through that progression and make that throw. So, big play from the Commanders on actually second down, but might as well have been third down with 6 seconds left.
Yeah, that was a... pretty ball, because I would have fumbled and threw it to the dude who was double covered on the outside. All right, lastly, on the turnover on downs, fourth down, I missed the V on Devontae, but the ones I saw last week, Devontae Adams, I had this at 60, or his line was 71.5. He ended up with 68. That one was on one of my cards. Mm-hmm. I got did dirty there.
He also had like a drop that definitely would have gotten over the 71.5. That's a bummer.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that one did me dirty. That would have won. I would have hit all my picks on that one, except now, you know, it didn't happen. And then there was CeeDee Lamb. This one was a weird one because his line was set at 6.5 for receptions. He ended up with 7. So, like, you know, he probably won people bets. But also, there was people who probably on the flip side. This dude was taken out pretty much the whole second half. They threw him in at the end of the fourth, got his extra catch to get over, but it was weird. Why they didn't play him. Like Johnny was in. Yeah. He needed him to get, you know, a good amount of points to have just his kicker try and figure it all out the next day. And Johnny was sitting there like, bro, this fool is literally not going to do anything else. I'm cooked, right? And so like I said, he was sitting at 6 catches, did not really play the second half, and then got one more, and Johnny was like, well, now I need my kicker to get like 20, and then I win. Which Brandon McManus still did pretty much like at least 15, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
So
he had a chance, but it wasn't enough. And then another last one I saw was Falcons-Giants. The under hit 42.5. I think it finished at 41 or 40, but there was a late game touchdown that was brought back due to a hold that would have allowed it to go over. Oof. And so that everyone was like, bro, what is Vegas doing with the refs out here? Blah, blah, blah. Oof.
That's rough. Okay. So to finish off today's podcast, we're going to look at the 4 quarterfinal CFP games. We kind of already did our predictions on these games. And for the most part, I stayed true to that. But after deep diving, there's at least one game that I changed my mind on. All right. So we'll give you the biggest key for both teams, Jody's best bet on each game, and my prediction for the final score in every game. So starting with the first game, Penn State, Boise State, 7:30 Eastern time, New Year's Eve at the Fiesta Bowl. Big, big game. I'm very excited for this one. I know some people think Penn State's going to roll Boise State. There's a lot of reasons, especially coming off that SMU game, that I don't think that will happen. The biggest key in my mind for Penn State, does the combination of Drew Aller and James Franklin have the goods to correctly manage this game? Because I'm going to be honest, they did not against SMU. They just got lucky that their defense was so incredibly good and Kevin Jennings played so bad for SMU at quarterback that the game was a blowout, so it didn't show up. But there were some decisions James Franklin made I did not agree with, and some decisions Drew Aller made that I did not agree with, that if it was a different kind of game, could have really shown up in a big way. It's no secret Penn State has more talent in this game, but can they avoid the mistakes, the turnovers, the poor game management that could cost them a game if it's close? Even in the game against SMU, like I said, there were some questionable decisions. Now on the flip side for Boise State, can Boise State's diverse run game be effective against Penn State, right? Boise runs a mix of zone gap schemes. They do it all with Ashton Jeanti back there. I know Jeanti gets a lot of credit and, you know, Heisman finalist, but that O-line blocks really well and they do a lot to open holes for him where he doesn't get touched until he's 6 yards down the field. And then we know what he can do with that. They rank third in the country in yards per attempt right now, 6.1 yards per rushing attempt. But the Penn State defense ranks ninth in yards, opponent yards per attempt at only 3.1. So it's strength on strength. One of the best run defenses in the country versus one of the best run offenses in the country. And we'll see how that figures out. Jody, what's your best bet for the game?
All right. So I was looking on Bovada right before we started recording and I did very minimal research for all these games. Cause you know, I'm not the biggest college football guy. And ultimately I settled on the over in this game, which, it is right there. 52.5. The points from each of the teams throughout their year, just Boise was putting up at least 30. Penn State was also doing the same, except in some closer games. So I think ultimately we'll see them both score a lot and we'll get over 52.5, no problem. Which I didn't even realize until after I started writing this down that you had your predictions for each of these games. Mm-hmm. And so some of them were pretty much in the same, like
in lockstep here.
Yeah. Then, we probably just had different research, you know, so.
The other thing I forgot to mention is Penn State is a 10-point favorite. At least they were. These lines have probably changed, but
yeah, they shifted this a little bit, like point and a half here and there. But
I did this Christmas Eve, so again, they probably changed. So these are 2-day-old lines, but they, when I looked before, Penn State was a 10-point favorite, and that's probably about as they should be, right? But ultimately, my prediction here, I'm going to go Boise State 34, Penn State 33. I just love the nostalgia of this being Boise State at the Fiesta Bowl against a premier program. And we know how that turned out in 2008 for Boise State, Oklahoma. I think Boise State's got some of that magic left in the bag. I think Ashton Jeanti has the goods where he's coming off a rest. He lost the Heisman. All of it to me says he's going to have a big day. I'm very excited to watch this game on New Year's Eve. So I've got Boise State winning the game by one for all the reasons, you know, in those key games that I talked about. I think you're going to get a costly mistake from Drew Aller. You're going to get a bad decision from James Franklin, and you're going to get Ashton Jeanti being able to run the ball. And all that to me spells upset for Boise State. All right. Now the last three games are all on New Year's Day. This first one, Texas is a 13.5-point favorite versus Arizona State. Again, these lines are old. 1 p.m. Eastern time, January 1st at the Peach Bowl. The biggest key for Texas, in my mind, does the Texas defense return to form? They were second best scoring defense in the country, allowing just 13.3 points per game. But Clemson managed 24 points on them in round one. And we talked about Cade Klubnik was awesome in that game. He was very good. And, you know, Texas can't afford to let Arizona State's offense get going because that's a better offense. They'll need to show up against an offense that scores 33 points per game, right? So they can't let them, Scatabu get loose, and they can't let that quarterback get rolling. So the Texas defense needs to show up. The biggest key for Arizona State, in my mind, can they Their defense turned the game into a drop back pass game for Quinn Ewers. Their defense ranks number 22 in the country in opponent rush yards per game, 117. And they're going to need to hold Texas to under 100 rushing yards, I think, to win this game. We know that Texas showed their depth at running back and O-line. They're still able to run the ball, even when a bunch of dudes were out against Clemson. They're going to need to do that. I don't think they want to get in a drop back pass game with Ewers against this team. I think that favors ASU. So if ASU can hold them under 100 yards and make Ewers beat them throwing the ball, I don't know if Texas always has the dudes outside to win in those matchups consistently enough to actually beat Arizona State. So that's going to be the key for Arizona State. Jody, what's your best bet for this game?
All right, so this one, with my research, I like Arizona with the points here. So that 13.5 is looking good to me. I said, I hope I'm wrong with this bet based off my research, but looks like Texas tends to play down to their opponent. And so I was thinking that in order for this to play out, it's going to be a closer game. Now, what you have predicted is a little bit off from, this is the only one we're different on, but I do think Arizona has the chance to make this a closer game, and it's going to be where it's within two touchdowns, I think, still. So that's where I'm looking at this. It's got to be a weird, like, 30-20 something, you know, like, I think it's going to be something like that. So we'll see what happens. But if I'm wrong, I'm glad, because that's, we kind of need to see that. So
I do think there's going to be one blowout. You know, it's four games. It's college football. It seems like there's always at least one, and I think this is the game. I've got Texas 41, Arizona State 21. I think the Texas defense comes back to being what we know it to be. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. So I think those keys both go Texas's way. I do think we'll see Scadaboo make some plays for Arizona State, and I think it could be a game, you know, by half. I don't think Texas is going to run away with it right away, but I think over time they're going to wear on Arizona State. Their depth is greater. They're stronger. They're more powerful. SEC, I think that will show up.
Big 12.
Yeah, I think that'll show up over the course of the game, and eventually they're going to wear on Arizona State and wear them down. I think so. I think it's a kind of a late cover for Texas, but they end up winning 41-21. Okay, next game. Number one, Oregon, who a couple days ago is a 1.5-point favorite over number 8, Ohio State, 5 p.m. Eastern, January 1st at the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all, one of the best venues for any game, truthfully, but especially a college football playoff game of this magnitude. This feels like it could have been the national championship this year, truthfully, and we're getting it in the quarterfinals, which is crazy. The biggest key for Oregon, will they win the red zone battle? For all of Oregon's strengths, one of their biggest flaws is that their opponents are scoring at a higher rate than they are in the red zone right now. They're giving up like 88% touchdowns, and they're only scoring like 85, something like that. So it's going to be a big key to this game, because I think both offenses are going to be able to move the ball despite both defenses being very good.
Yeah.
The team that wins in the red zone, to me, will likely be the team that wins this game.
That makes sense.
The biggest key for Ohio State, can they be more efficient on third down in this game? In the first matchup, they were only 4-for-12.
Ooh,
that's not in a 1-point loss. Those smallest margins show up in the biggest ways, right? So this comes down to Will Howard got to be a playmaker on third down with his legs and his arm, and that's going to be a key moment for Ohio State. They got to be better on third down. Oregon, you got to win the red zone. What's your best bet, Jody?
All right, so before I read my sentence, I just want to let you know I thought this was in Oregon and not at the Rose Bowl. So I wrote down, Oregon being the underdog at home sounds very disrespectful. So I'm taking Oregon +2.5, because it was +2.5 at the start when I was looking at these.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Regardless that it's neutral site in Pasadena, I think Oregon still is the better team. They obviously won the first one by a very, very small margin. And if it's this 2.5 underdog, I'm taking that all day, every day.
Oh, so the line shifted by 4 points?
A lot.
Wow. Interesting.
And so, unless there's some people who opted out of this game or something for transport, I don't know how that works with the playoff now. But regardless, I think Oregon is the favorite to win the whole thing in my eyes. So I'm taking them as the underdog 2.5.
All right, so my final prediction, very similar to the first game. The first game ended, 32-31.
34 or something?
or 33, like 32. Yeah, it was really close. I'm going Oregon 30, Ohio State 28. I do think Oregon will be able to score just enough to beat them. I think Ohio State will be better on third down in this game, but I also think Oregon will be good enough in the red zone to eventually win it. I think Oregon's defense can do a good job of taking away Travion Henderson and Quichon Junkins like they did in the first game and make Will Howard beat them with that receiver, that receiving group. So we'll see. But I do think this is the best game of the week. I want to say weekend, but it's on like a Wednesday.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I do think this is the best game of the quarterfinals. All right. Last one. Georgia, who's a 1.5 point favorite when I looked at this, versus Notre Dame, the nightcap, 8:45 Eastern time, January 1st at the Sugar Bowl. To me, the biggest key for Georgia, it's pretty obvious. How good is Gunnar Stockton? Is he ready to go? Is he going to be great? Did the time off help him, you know, really come into the offense with them knowing going into this game for 3 weeks that he's the starter, right? He was good enough to finish the game and beat Texas in the SEC championship, but is he good enough to score points against a Notre Dame defense that gives up less than 14 points per game, right? Mm-hmm. The biggest key for Notre Dame in my mind is, can a Riley Leonard-led offense muster third down conversions and keep drives alive to score points? Notre Dame is only 39% on third down conversions right now. They need to possess the ball, win the field position battle, and take advantage of scoring opportunities when they get them. To me, this is a defensive battle with two limited quarterbacks. Riley Leonard's a good runner, not as good a thrower. And Gunnar Stockton, we saw what he did against Texas. He threw one of the worst picks I've ever seen. But he also led that offense to a touchdown and was able to run tough to get him in position to score the game winner in overtime. So there's stuff to like about both quarterbacks, stuff that I don't like. So truthfully, I think this is going to be a low-scoring defensive battle. What's your best bet for the game?
All right, this one, I took the under. So what I wrote down was, for some reason, the under, speaking to me, the line's at 44, says, because looks like Notre Dame has inflated numbers versus playing nobody. And Georgia is going to have to hunker down and play some gritty football with their backup quarterback being in the game. Like, I don't know. The scores for Notre Dame were like 50 to like 12. I don't know. That doesn't seem real to me. Yeah. They made it in here. Everyone's complaining. They lost, I think, some weird games.
And NIU.
Yeah, there you go. See, exactly. I don't know. I know your prediction a little different, but we have the same under point total, I should say.
Yeah.
But regardless of who wins, I don't think it really matters. I just think it's a weird game. No one's going to score, and it's going to be really, really close.
I agree. I think you probably have like a, you know, special teams or defensive touchdown is the kind of thing that determines this one. This is, you know, I said I changed my mind on one game. This is the one game, right? Yeah. I thought I liked Boise State. I like Texas, and I like Oregon, even with the deep dives. But this was the game that I looked at closer, watched a little more film, looked at some of the numbers, some of the data, and I actually changed my mind here. In the bracket behind me, I had Georgia picked originally when I filled out this bracket, but I'm actually going to change my mind here. I think Notre Dame has the goods on defense to get it done. I trust Riley Leonard a little bit more than Gunnar Stockton, given the experience. I think Gunnar Stockton's more prone to make a mistake that could cost his team than Riley Leonard will be. I like Marcus Freeman. I think he's going to have these boys ready to play. I did say that last week, even though I said I thought Georgia would win, I thought Notre Dame was going to be right in it. And I actually flipped here. I'm going to go Notre Dame 19, Georgia 17. So I'm with you on the under there. I think it's a field goal, tough game. And ultimately, like I said, I kind of think what will happen is Notre Dame will kick like four field goals and they're going to have a deep defensive touchdown that truthfully is the thing that wins them the game. You know what I mean? Like a pick six.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm going to go with. Georgia loses without their starting quarterback. So keep an eye out for those games. Enjoy watching them. You know, take our advice for what you will. I know our guy CB vehemently disagrees with me on that last one. He thinks Georgia's going to kill Notre Dame. We'll see. Before we go, you know, we got to get our banger of the week. I watched Gladiator 2 a couple days ago. Pretty good. Played all the hits of the first one. Thought it was, you know, good storyline. Little little bit of tweaks here and there. There's one kind of twist that I know a lot of people didn't like. I'm not going to say that I liked it either necessarily, but yeah. they kind of had to do it to make the story make sense. So I kind of get it. The acting in it was good. I thought it was a good movie. I mean, it was worth it to me that they made it. You know, I know some people were mad about it. Some of the storyline stuff. Again, they had to do some things to make it fit, but it worked. And in my mind, it was good. I liked it. So if you get a chance, see Gladiator 2. It's worth the watch. It's entertaining. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what you want.
Yeah. So. My mom really liked it. And she, I don't know how she got this thing, but she got a foam finger from there. It was like a thumbs up. My niece just walks around with it every now and again. It's hilarious.
All right, so the next time we come to you, it'll be after those playoff games. It'll be after the new year. So from our podcast to you, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and Happy 2025. Happy New Year. Jody, what's your New Year's resolution?
Oh, man, I didn't complete the ones this year of reading two books. I read half of two books. I read half of two books. So we got to... We'll have to finish those two books by the next year. And then from there, I don't know. We got to lock in.
What do you do? Hey.
That's all I'll say is lock in. What does it pertain to? Who knows? We just lock in.
Mine is going to be something I know I can do. I'm going to watch more football. It's my New Year's resolution, baby.
There you go.
So enjoy the New Year's festivities, enjoy the holidays, and we'll see you guys again next week after all the games.
Yes, sir. Until then, we got our guy, Ray Ray, taking us out. Been working all year. Look into my eyes, there's hunger, there's no fear. Fucking like y'all ready, boy, I promise you we coming. Anybody that want it can get it, play it's nothing. We ain't never worried by listening to the chatter, cause when we get on the field, we know that none of it matter. I've been through a lot, man, can't nothing faze me. Got the student section and the stands going crazy. Everybody turning up, we putting on a show. Boomers, we be popping and the people, yeah, they love. 951, be the city, never change. We the Chaparral Boomers, everybody know the name. We ain't here to make friends, we gon' let them see. Get your chain snatched like a key crab tree. Squad for lagoons, be ready to bring the pain. Show them how we do, we about to let it bang. About to go and get it, kill them with the swag. Tryna act tough, they be looking, we just laugh. See them getting mad, cause they know we ain't stressed. We prepared for this moment, we done passed all the tests. Been through the rain, been through the struggle. We ain't never break, we just put on more muscle. Put on for the city, man, running with the pride. Friday night in lights when the Pumas come alive. Throw your Pumas up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that Puma pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, show them how Puma do it. Let it bang, yeah. Turn me up, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang. Put on for the city, that's really all that we do. Yeah. Nothing to lose and a whole lot to prove. On the field late and I'm in the gym early. Overtime on my grind, I can see him worry. Put the pads on, we about to bring the boom. The Legion of Doom, everybody better make room. You can see the fumes from the fire. Product of the pain and the hunger and desire. Talking like you want it, man, I hope you ain't lying. Bottom line, we the Boomers, but we feeling like some lions. Dropping off heat at your feet every week. Everybody wanna be a beast till it's time to eat. Oh, we gon' see if you really bought it. Deacon, you can handle me, boy, I really doubt it. Putting in work, being steady with the grind. You ain't taking nothing, player, this is all mine. Throw your Pumas up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that Puma pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, show 'em how Puma do it. Let it bang, yeah. Turn me up, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang. Blood, sweat, tears, time getting near. I've been saying that for so long, now it's here. Come through the whole chin, checking everybody. We just put 'em in the dirt, man, treat it like a hobby. Oops, I mean happy, L's can't have it. We ain't standing around waiting for nothing, we grab it. I remember putting in work all alone. Now my team with me and we all in the zone. Never giving nothing, so you better understand. We don't care about your plan, this is Puma Pride Land. Get into the huddle, tell the fellas, turn it up. Fourth quarter coming, throw them double deuces up. Let them know what's up, man, the crowd never dying. Refy keep holding me, man, quick.
hands up. Show 'em Puma pride. Friday night lights when the Pumas come alive. I throw your Pumas up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that Puma pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, let it bang. Show 'em how Puma do it, let it bang, let it bang.